بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I am here in Groton, and yesterday I took a very nice video with the Fajr reminder, but it got rejected by his geekiness Muhammad Azharuddin, and that rejection was supported by his ultimate geekiness, Mr. Umair Ahmed. And of course, I am very happy about the fact that they feel free to reject my stuff on grounds of quality. And their problem was that there was too much of wind sound in the mic. Well, it was a windy day. I froze my butt off trying to record this video and then had it rejected by these guys. So, alhamdulillah, this shows that quality consciousness comes quality before comfort, as we say. So here I am again. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy on me, and today the wind has died down, so it's not so windy. So I'm sitting out here with an inlet from Long Island Sound behind me, as you can see, and absolutely beautiful views. So how water adds to the quality of a picture of the scenery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jannatin min tahti al-anhar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jannat gardens beneath which rivers flow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them and to make us among them who will be there, insha'Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew of a very important thing and a very dangerous thing. And that thing is, it's called the parable of the boiled frog. And the parable of the boiled frog goes something like this. It says that if you take a frog and put it into a pot of water, which is hot, then what will the frog do? Obviously, the frog will jump out, or it'll try to jump out because the water is too hot. But you take the same frog and you put it into a pot of water at room temperature, let the frog get used to that, and then you light a small fire under the pot and gently heat the pot. The idea is to gently heat the pot, not suddenly. Then what happens is, over a period of time, the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter. But the frog gets used to this water, which is now getting hotter and hotter, until it reaches a point where the frog now knows that this water is lethal. It's now become extremely hot and it needs to get out. But by then, the frog has become flaccid. The frog is incapable of moving. And you have then a boiled frog, which you then take it out and a dash of salt, a couple of drops of lime, and that's your hors d'oeuvres for the evening. I'm not getting into whether eating frogs and frogs' legs is halal or haram. The point I want to make here is that this is called the syndrome or the case of the boiled frog. Now, this further reminder, of course, is not about frogs. It's about this syndrome itself. And that is our tendency to gradually get used to sin, to get used to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us. And that happens in the same way as it happens with the frog when we are immersed in it. The first reaction for anyone, it's like bread. You cut the first slice, it's instantly visible because the crust is gone, and there you see this bread has been sliced. But once the first slice has been taken off, the second slice, the third slice, the fourth slice, you will not know until the whole bread is gone. You will not know how many slices have been taken off that bread because only the first slice shows. After that, it all looks the same. Once the crust is gone, once the protection is gone, that's it. Now, this is what happens to us when we get immersed in an atmosphere of sin. We get desensitized. You know, in Eid al-Adha, many times I hear this comment from many of our dear brothers and sisters who say, well, why must we sacrifice this animal? Why must we feel so bad? It feels so sad to slaughter the animal. I know all about how the animal, it doesn't feel pain and so on. But when was the last time that you were slaughtered? How do you know that? Yes, it probably doesn't feel as much pain as it would feel if it was slaughtered with a blunt knife or something, but you can't say with certainty the animal doesn't feel pain because you don't know that. Yet we do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. So all of these things, they point to a soft heart, it points to a heart which is moved by seeing suffering, by seeing something which is wrong. But then believe me, a time comes, go to a butcher shop, go to an abattoir. There are people slaughtering animals left, right and center without absolutely any feeling at all for the animal. Take another case. I don't know how many of you have watched an operation in progress inside an operation theater. I did, because my father was a surgeon and he was very interested in teaching, and if he couldn't find anybody else, he would grab me. And many times he made me stand there while he was operating on someone. And initially, I know I felt very nauseous when I see blood coming out and incisions being made. It feels very nauseous. Now, after a time, you get used to it. So I say to some people sometimes that if you are, bricks trapping 6 feet, 6 inches tall, 4 feet wide, huge big person, but you've never seen blood, you go into an operation theater, the first incision the surgeon makes, blood comes out, and you're probably going to fall down. You will become nauseous, you will become dizzy, and you will just fall to the earth. Whereas in the same operation theater, there will be the theater nurse who is probably four for nothing, in perfect health, and she is passing on the scalpels and all the tools of the trade to the surgeon. And when the operation is over, she will wash up and she'll go to the cafeteria and have a nice meal. Whereas you probably will be off food for a day or two because of the feeling of the after effects of that operation that you saw. All of these examples which I'm giving you, they point to one thing, which is the desensitization to something that we have when we see it again and again and again. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what is happening to the world today. Globally, it's not. There was a time when we used to say these things, or at least our elders used to say these things with specific reference to the West. Today, the West is not a direction, it's not a destination, it's not geography. The West is a way of life, the West is philosophy, the West is where we all live, and the whole world is so-called the West. And that is that we have got used to seeing the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala routinely in our lives, in every place and every form. I am not going to list here the number of ways in which we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to do that not because I'm afraid of saying what needs to be said. I'm not doing it because I want you to do it yourself. I want you to list that for yourself. That thing was a bit taking off. Again, as I said, rotten. This is the UMass airfield which is behind me, and you find lots of small planes taking off and landing. So I want you to do this. I want you to take an average day and list the number of times you see the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your environment. Everywhere. Look at the TV, look at the shows you watch, look at social media, look at Facebook, look at conversations. Look at where you go, what you buy, why you buy. Just start from can see to can't see. Start from wake up to go to bed and say, how many times a day do I see the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happening in my life, in my presence, before me? And then ask yourself, in what way am I affected by that? Am I shocked? Am I horrified? Am I losing sleep over that? Is it something that I'm greatly pained about? Or is it something which is routine? Which is happening? Yeah, this happens. This also happens, that also happens, that also happens. And it is routine. Which one is it? My brothers and sisters, if it is routine, if it is something that is not bothering you, believe me, you are that boiled frog and the water is now at a temperature which is probably lethal. I won't say lethal because it means then you can't do anything. Frogs are cold-blooded, you are not. So you can still do something about that. And that something is to do the about turn. The something is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with repentance and with seeking His protection. And by taking a stand against what we see. That is very critical. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us with no option. Wallahi, in the famous hadith of Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah said that for a Muslim, when you see something wrong, stop it with your hand. And if you are unable to do that, if you feel that you are not strong enough to do that, then he said, speak out against it, stop it with your tongue. And if you are still unable to do that, then he said, feel a hatred for that in your heart. And this last one, he said, is a sign of the weakness of your faith. Remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't give us three alternatives, he gave us only two. The third one is a diagnostic tool that he gave us. He said that this is the fact that you are neither able to stop the disobedience of Allah with your hand, nor are you able to speak out against it, but you hate it in your heart. This hatred is a sign, and this is not hatred of people, it's a hatred of the thing, of the action, because it is disobedience of Allah. This hatred is a sign of the weakness of your iman. My brothers and sisters, therefore, what must we do? If I am given a sign of a cardiac problem, what am I expected to do? I'm expected to cure it. I'm expected to do what it takes to get rid of this problem. I'm not expected to live happily with that problem. And I'm most definitely not expected to go and do what led to that problem in the first place, which means that if I claim to hate something which was happening, if I was sitting in a gathering that I knew something was wrong with this gathering, I'm hating what's happening here, then what must I do? Continue to sit there, engage, socialize, be nice, and so on? Or the fact that I should have stopped this gathering from happening, the fact is that I should have spoken out against this gathering or what was happening in the gathering, I did not do either of that, I hate it in my heart, then what must I do? I must leave. I must get out of that place. I must not be sitting there any longer, because if I don't do that, then I'm lying. I'm lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I'm saying that I'm hating this, yet I'm sitting there. The question is, if you're hating it, why are you sitting there? Now, this is the whole issue of becoming desensitized. So the issue here is that we don't hate it. Even those of us who may not like it, we have got used to it. We've got used to it, and therefore we are in it. Because the hadith, as far as the hadith and the ayat of the Quran, as far as these kinds of disobedience is concerned, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you are with them, you are from them. If you are with them, then you are from them. May Allah protect us from being clubbed with people who are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely shamelessly, completely without any let or hindrance, without any problem whatsoever. And we who claim not to disobey Allah are just sitting there because of our false ideas of social mores and social norms and social behavior and so on and so forth. And Allah knows why we continue to sit there. But we will get clubbed with them. And if on the day of judgment, if we are with those people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately, then what happens to us? I remind myself and you, let us not get used to sin, because that is a very, very dangerous situation to be in. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.